And welcome to another exciting Opens Extra feature. Today we have a fabulous guest, Coley Tranco, so just wanted to come here and chat. So we're going to just have some fun tonight and go through a few things with her, and we'll see where it goes. So I really have no agenda tonight other than discuss you, discuss what you're up to, discuss some things in the past that I've read about you, and just see how things go. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We're getting a little hot, but that's okay. School's almost winding down here, which makes me happy. So
nice. It's whereabouts are you again?
I'm in Toronto, Canada.
Cool. It can't be as I don't doubt if it's as bad as LA. This is really hot here.
Oh, we don't get as hot as you guys. Nobody would believe how hot it gets. You guys get really hot.
Oh, it's awful. I know.
Okay, I was doing some research on you, and something about you I had no idea. What is an ABC News Australia TV series that I cannot find anywhere?
What is a what?
According to your IMDb, I have an ABC News Australia TV series from 2004.
Yes, that was just an episode. It was a news clip. They were interviewing Zimbabweans about the cricket, whether the Australians should go and play cricket there because of the political turmoil there. And they interviewed me because my dad used to play cricket for Zimbabwe. So yeah. I don't know where you'd find that. Probably you'd have to go back to the ABC archives, but yes.
Okay. Let's start there. Your dad used to play cricket. Now there's something I didn't know about you.
Okay.
Now, do you even like Americans? I really don't know what cricket is. I mean, it's not a North American sport in any way.
That's
most
right.
North Americans don't even understand how to play it. I understand a tiny bit of thing. So how was it as a kid to go to cricket matches and stuff like that? Did that inspire you anyway in your acting, or is it just something to do as a kid?
I have to say, you probably know more than me. It's a very slow game. It's very boring. It's very much it's like a slow version of baseball. I grew up going to cricket games. I was a kid, so I just used to go to hang out and have fun and play with my friends and drink Coca-Cola and sodas and just that was going to cricket. That's what it meant for me. And then occasionally everyone would cheer and you'd join in. And it was kind of just like baseball games, except it's more serious in baseball. Well, yeah, it's a lot more serious in baseball, but you have to be quiet between, when they're doing it and stuff. But it was a lot of fun growing up around the cricket club. I don't really know. I mean, I know basic things about cricket, but nothing. Please don't ask me anything in graphic detail because I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Now I really want to get into A Stranger in My Homeland. How did you come on to this project? Like, this is a pretty heavy project from what I'm reading. This sets a lot of things about you in motion.
Right. Well, this is one I made when we left Zimbabwe because I was very passionate about the scene there. And I wanted other countries to understand what was happening. And so I made it was a documentary that I made with these refugees who had fled Zimbabwe and were living in Australia. And it was a chance for them all to tell their stories. It was very provocative politically for Zimbabwe because it said a lot of bad things about Robert Mugabe, who was the then dictator. So it was for a while. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't go back while he was in power. He's dead now. I still don't know if I'd risk going back just because there's still a lot of his supporters there. So, that was that film, A Stranger in My Homeland.
Hold on. No, we're not letting you off that easily. Now, what is it shown? Like, this is a political, from everything I read, this forced, according to what I read, you had to leave Zimbabwe because of this film. Telling me, no, you're already in Australia at this point.
Well, not quite. I didn't have to. I think that's a bit of that's a bit of an exaggeration in my bio. I don't know who wrote that, but it was, no, I couldn't go back to Zimbabwe because of that.
Okay.
That's the thing. So it was, but yeah, it was still pretty serious stuff. I mean, I heard reports from basic people who'd seen it, who were in Robert Mugabe's camp, who said this girl is spreading lies about our country. And it would have been definitely very risky had I gone back.
So how does that feel as a filmmaker? I mean, you're a budding filmmaker at this point. That's some heavy-duty film you made. And how do you feel now? Do people still really shout to you to this day about this film, or nobody knows?
It's still interesting. In fact, I screened the film at a university as recently as 5 years ago. And that was literally just before Robert Mugabe was kicked out. But even now that he's gone, people still talk to me about it. Yes, I mean, it didn't, I mean, I had people saying to me all the time, be careful, be careful. I had people saying to me, don't make this movie.
Hello? Uh-oh. Chloe?
Back up. Sorry.
You said, no, the whole thing just paused here.
Now my internet connection. Okay. Did you get?
I have people told me not to make this film.
People warned me about it. People told me not to use my real name. I refused to do that. I was going to use my name. And I had situations where I'd set up interviews with Zimbabweans who canceled at the last minute because they were scared. So I kind of saw the sort of the danger side of it. I mean, I wasn't scared so much in that I knew I was out of there, but I knew also that I wasn't going to be going back.
Okay. Now, you wrote this, or was this more you just did a point for a note saying this is who I wanted to interview?
Right.
How does that work?
That's what I learned. My first filmmaking lesson with documentaries is you there were a whole lot of people I wanted to interview. So I just made a list of them all. I interviewed them all. And then you have to cut a few because their stories aren't interesting enough or they don't fit the narrative. And then you kind of stick to a narrative. And then you kind of choose the way the documentary is going to go based around the stories that you decide to keep. So yeah, that was one thing I learned with documentary filmmaking is that it kind of like, you know, it's a lot of it's edited out.
So how do you feel as a writer? Do you have to get into a mood to write? Do you have a meditation? Do you keep a journal every day?
Oh, God, no. I haven't kept a journal for years. I keep my journal when something really good happens to me or when something really bad happens to me. That's what my journal is pretty much for now. Or when something happens, something memorable, like becoming a U.S. citizen, I wrote in my journal because that was very special. By the way, I'm a U.S. citizen 2 years. As of Sunday, I've been a citizen now 2 years. So just throwing that in there. But writing wise, you have moments when something just inspires you and you just get obsessed with it and you think and think. But the moments when you have to sit down and write are quite different. Usually I find myself thinking of anything but what I'm supposed to write. So I'll play with my phone. I now have worked out that to write, I literally have to shut down every single screen on my computer. I have to hide my phone. And I literally just have to write. And then I kind of force myself to get into the mood. But it's also, it's kind of like with writing, I find the easiest way to do it is, and this is the advice I give to anyone out there who wants to write, is write the scenes that come to you first. So just say you got a story about, say, an alien abduction. But the alien abduction doesn't happen until the middle of the script. So instead of sitting there going, how can I begin this? How can I begin this? You just write the abduction because that's the scene that's come to you. You write how you envision it, write everything. And then another scene might come to you, how the guy gets away from the aliens. Again, write that. And then you'll find more and more scenes come to you that way. And they're not in order. You just put them down, when the order they're going to be in, but obviously with huge chunks in between, spaces in between. And then you fill in the gaps later. That's how I say is the best way to write a script or a book or whatever you're writing.
Okay. But according to this, you went to Sixth Commandment, a short story. Like, do you ever want to expand on your shorts? Do you feel you don't have enough time in your shorts?
That was my first movie. Yes. The Sixth Commandment. That was one which I made. God, that was so long ago.
15 years ago.
Yeah, I was, I really was just, again, I was just a kid, just experimenting. And I just kind of, that one was never going to be a long one. It was just a short story that I came up with, which was a murder story, which worked as a short. I mean, you get some ideas that work as a short. And that was one of them. And so, I think the only other short I've done, which I was involved in the production side of, was Unforgivable Sin, which I did a few years ago, which again was an idea, which again only works as a short. So for short films, I'm not a big believer in, a lot of people do the whole, oh, you've got an idea for a feature movie. Well, why don't you make a short and go out to investors? I don't believe in that at all, because I think if you're going to spend a ton of money on crew, on actors, on everything, why don't you just shoot the feature instead of just shooting a short that's just going to go nowhere, because it's so hard to get money. It's so hard to get interest. You know, that's my feeling with shorts, with people who use shorts as a way of promoting features. So with me, yeah, short films and features are very different things. Like, you have some stories that are the short are, that are just work for short films, some films that are, you know, obviously cannot be shorts because they full stories, full features.
How do you feel watching a short? Do you enjoy watching shorts, or you're like, nope, not for me?
That's interesting. It's a good question, because some of them are really good, some are really terrible. And it depends, you know. I always used to go to, in Australia, they have this film festival called Trop Fest, which is an outdoor film festival they have every March in the summer in Sydney. And it's like, it's a very famous festival over there. And it's for young budding filmmakers, and each film has to be, I think it can't be more than 7 minutes. And each year they give an award, and that word has to be in the film somewhere. So, so I always used to go to that every year when I was living over there, and I loved it. And some films were amazingly funny, excellent, and some were just terrible. I don't mind. I'm happy to watch, you know, I'll always watch shorts, but of course I'm not going to sort of say, okay, I'm going to, you know, we're going to rent a short or something. You know, you don't want to do that. You want to watch a feature. But, you know, of course, if someone sends me something, of course I'm going to watch it. Yep.
Now, how long did you live in Australia, and you're a budding filmmaker in Australia? How is the filmmaking industry in Australia compared to USA?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was there 10 years. It's the problem with Australia is, I mean, Australia has so much potential and there's so much talent there. The problem there is that it's a very small industry, and there are very, very few good roles for women, which is why I started writing at a very young age, because I knew it was the only way to do it was to do it yourself. You know, you've got to, it's otherwise you just, it's also very, if you like haven't been in an Australian soap opera since you were five, you kind of, no one knows who you are. You've got to really kind of push. So even though people think, oh, it's much easier there because, you know, there's not the same amount of competition you have in LA, it's actually much harder because it is so much smaller and there are less opportunities. So, and that was a big reason why I came here, because there are a lot of opportunities over here, much more so than over there.
Now, I have a question for you. Just going to challenge you a bit. I apologize. Okay. On your list, you have One Day in Hollywood introducing Jodea.
Oh, yes.
And you also have a feature film calling Jodea. So am I missing something here?
You told me not to make a short before I make the feature? You are completely 100% correct. And that's the only time I've ever done it. and I learned from my mistake, and I will not do that again. And that was one which John Cohen, who directed both films, he directed the feature and the short. And he said to me, because I was trying to get Jodea up as a feature. And, you know, we wanted to do it on a much bigger budget with an A-list. Well, not so much an A-list star, but just a star with like a TV name or something. And it was just, and so John said to me, do it as a short. And I never really kind of liked that idea, but I took his advice. And look, we got in a whole lot of film festivals, you know, and stuff. But, you know, it kind of proved my point that going out there with a short doesn't actually get the money. I mean, we had plenty of people who loved it. But, thank you. I'm impressed with your research.
Well, I have questions that pop up. Now, I just read that you're going to be doing Shylock, that's just been announced. That you've written a Merchant of Venice remake of some kind. So I couldn't find anything else. So
I mean, that's pretty much all there is. I mean, that one is, it's kind of like, it's just, we've got a producer attached. That's a, I don't know how much I can say about that one because I'm not producing it. But that's one which I'm a writer on. It's set for a much bigger budget, a period piece. And it's a rewrite of Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice.
Interesting. So how much do you like Shakespeare? Is that your thing? Or is just like, nope, I've been hired to do this. I'm done.
I do love Shakespeare, some of Shakespeare. But Merchant of Venice was a piece that was a play I always had a problem with because it is notoriously anti-Semitic. However, and that was what I thought when I read it in school. And then when I was older, I reread it And I actually saw it from a different point of view. And anyway, so my take on it is something completely different, that he's actually not an anti-Semite. He's actually making fun of anti-Semites. So, and that's kind of my interpretation. And that sort of leads to, that's kind of what Shylock is about. But yeah,
Okay, I'm also reading something, film called Unforgivable Sin, which you never sent me, and it just says completed recently. So
yes, yeah, I don't know what IMDb did with that. That was made in 2016. I don't know why it is above my recent credits. It's very bizarre. I've tried to get them to change it. Yeah, that was as I said, that was the only other short I did, which again, that was a murder story again, which was a. You know, I said one of the stories that can that works as a short.
Well, now we discuss your big project that we've never discussed since you've been here. You did two episodes of Righteous Gemstones, which had to be pretty cool for you.
Oh, it has been wonderful. Yes, thank you.
So tell me about that. I mean, usually you're on an independent film set. You're either directing, you're acting. This is just you doing a role. On something huge. So how was that experience?
It was amazing. I as I said, it was very funny for me being on the set, because I'd just come from the movie I'd shot. And I realized, you know, when I was on the set of Gemstones, I realized that my movie cost the same as Breakfast on Gemstones. Yep. On Monday, it was actually wonderful having all these opportunities. And the huge advantage to having a massive budget is that, you know, like Danny McBride and David Gordon Green, who directed me, they had, it's like that you've got time, you've got money, you can do stuff. You can say, oh, well, why don't we try this? Do something completely different. And, you know, like, so I was on set some days and they would come up with a new idea for me. And I was like, okay, cool, I'll do that. And they do, you know, they do these things, which is wonderful, because like on the low budget is that I make, you know, you're packed into a day. You've got no room to move. You're lucky if you get in all the shots you plan on getting in. And that's a huge difference. That's a huge difference between having, so I don't know if you watch the Gemstones. So like, for example, in season one, the episode I'm in with Judy's birthday party, like that took 3 days to film. Birthday party with all these kids as extras. It was wonderful. They came up with all these different things to do and different ideas, and it was great. And I mean, that's when you have a budget, you can do that. And I love that.
So have you been more recognized then? Does that make you a bigger star? Do you think, do people see you on the street going, I know you?
It's funny. It's so funny that I have had recognition. It's real. I mean, it was wonderful. I mean, first thing that happened, I got to celebrate by having my Facebook account hacked. I now know why so many of my fellow actors don't use Facebook. But it was just, you know, it was wonderful. It was so, you know, it's funny. Like, so there are all these, online conversations about my character on Reddit, on Facebook, on the page. And it's funny because I join in and it's hilarious the reactions I get, because some people are just so sweet and so, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're talking to us. And others are like, you don't know for sure that this is Chloe Trakoff. I'm sure she has better things to do. And I'm just laughing going, okay, well, clearly I don't have better things to do. But it is funny. And, it's nice to get that recognition and to have people, I've received so many lovely messages from people. It's very, very sweet. I didn't think my character would affect so many people, but apparently it did. And, because the one scene I'm in season two, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's quite tragic. Walton Goggins, my husband, abandons me and our son in a pet store. I've been had so many lovely messages from people saying how, you know, my performance touched them and how they've had horrible husbands and they can, it's very sweet. It has made a huge difference. And I love working on it. It's the most amazing. They're the most amazing cast and crew.
Well, I have to ask the important question. You have two independent films on Amazon. You have Introducing Judea and Devil's Cove, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Now, do you find your Righteous Gemstone crowd is coming over and checking those out just because they're Googling your name more?
I have actually been using, trying to get more people to watch, using the Gemstones fan page to get more people to watch Introducing Judea. And because it's a comedy, it's not, you know, Devil's Cove is a thriller horror. So I figure comedy. And so, and a lot of people have, and I've again been receiving lovely feedback from them. So I've kind of been using that, and I don't know whether some people are doing it on their own, but just, I have been putting it out there. Hey, just check out my movie. So a lot of people have been, I don't know so much about Devil's Cove, whether people are checking that one out so much, but yeah, but Introducing Jodea, I mean, it seems to be doing pretty well online, and I'm pretty happy about that.
That's great. Yeah. Now, I got a weird one for you. In MacGyver, you have no lines. I mean, as an actor, you don't care. It's a job. I get that part. Yes. So how does it feel to walk on a set of MacGyver status, which is probably the same size as Righteous Gemstones, and just be like an extra?
It was, I mean, look, I've said to everyone, I'll do anything to be on set. It was kind of like, technically my role was a quote unquote featured extra, where I was featured, although I think I was cut out of the final thing. I have to admit, I've never seen that episode.
I haven't either. I couldn't know what to even look for.
At the end of the day, you're there to do a job and you're on a set, and it's, you can't be precious. I can't believe when casting my independents, the number of actors who I'd bring on for smaller roles. And I always tried to make sure all of those who were featured had a line or something that made them unique, so that they would get noticed. And there were actors who were just fantastic, and they were happy to be there and do that. But then you got the ones who were divas and were like, oh no, I'm not coming on board unless I have a lead role. And I'm kind of like, you know, what world are you living in? It is such a tough industry. If someone offers you a small role, take it. You know, what's the old saying? There are no small roles.
That's correct.
Something like that. But I always, no matter how big or small my role is, I always do research into the character. I always write a biography. I always, I have a whole, in a monologue going the whole time I'm on set.
Oh, wow. So, even when you're a waitress in MacGyver, you have this going?
Yes. No, that's how I operate. I know it's very weird, but I mean,
if it works for you. Now, you say your method. What is the verdict with Judge Hackett TV series?
Oh yes, that was one. That's like a reality. Well, it's not a reality, but it's meant to be. They film you and you pretend you're the real people. It's kind of like, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell that, but I don't think they, you know, but yeah, so it's like you go there, it's kind of like a Judge Judy thing. And so I auditioned. I had to be this mom whose kid got into a fight with another kid. And and we bring it before Judge Hackett. And then, so it's all very, yeah, it's, I mean, it's, yeah, it's not real. It's, but yeah, it's,
yeah, it's, I know, it's a thing. It's all yeah. Good. Now, my favorite credit of yours, you've been killed in a movie called Final Move.
And yes, it just says yes, victim. I've been killed in a movie.
So how is being killed in a movie? Do you tell your parents I'm going to be killed in the movie, or your friends, or you just say, watch it?
Sorry, can you say that again? I lost.
My question is, when you die in a movie, do you tell people ahead of time you're dead, or you've been hit, or anything happened to you, or you just let them watch it?
Well, the one movie I was killed in was, again, directed by John, who directed Jodea, and who also directed my first movie, I Wish I Was Stephanie V. And it always makes me laugh. I had a small role in this film of his, which was a horror, which he made right after I Wish I Was Stephanie V. And I joked with him. I said, right, you hated me so much on Stephanie V that you put me in your next movie where you killed me. So that was just a joke. But yeah, my whole purpose in that film was to die. The whole purpose of my being in that horror was I play a woman who seduces a film editor, and then she's found murdered. So kind of like it's my second of all two scenes is I'm lying there with, oh, the makeup artist did the greatest shot of a gashed throat. I've still got the photos. But my whole point to being in that film was the way I die. So I did kind of boast about it and show the photos. And it's kind of really horrific. With that one, yes, I do tell people because it was no secret. I wasn't a lead role and it was part of the thing.
I also love when you're listed as an Australian tourist. Uh-oh. Now, I talked to you a few times, and I don't hear any Australian accent in any way. So in 2011, you must have still had your Australian accent. Or did you ever have one?
Yes. You know what? I don't think I ever did. I think I kind of went from Zimbabwean to what I have now, which is tricontinental. Yes.
So as an actress, do you look for certain roles? I mean, you do have Righteous Gemstones under your belt. You have two feature films under your belt that you wrote. What do you look for in the future? What are you after?
You know, as an actor, you kind of just have to take whatever comes your way. I mean, I just said in an interview yesterday, I said, well, I'll do anything short of pornography. I will, you know, there's nothing I will say no to. And it's just, whatever people want to cast me as, I'll do, you know, and people see me different ways. It's very interesting. Like in Gemstones, they kind of saw me as a more glamorous figure. Usually I'm cast as someone evil. There are so many different types for me. So, I don't look for stuff. I mean, with the stuff I write is different because that's a character that inspires me and I'm going to write it. But with someone who's looking to cast something, you know, I'm usually open to whatever they suggest.
So you're a producer, you've been a director, you've been executive producer, you've been a walk-on role, you've been a lead actor. What do you like to do, or all of it?
Well, directing, I really only did the documentary and the short. I don't really direct, and I honestly didn't really like my directing in the short. The documentary was different. I did like that. But I'm an actor-writer. Produce I do because I have to. I really hate producing. I mean, if there's someone else, if I'm doing a project, I mean, I kind of just keep the producing credit. If it's my project, if it's my baby, I want to say in it. But if there's someone else who can come on board and take over that side of it, then I'm so happy to do that because I hate that part of it.
Okay. So before we let you go, I usually ask you three fun questions, but I only have one.
Oh, yes.
For you
I love
today.
Your questions. Okay.
Today, I only have one, just one today.
Okay.
Now, if I was going to make you do an accent of your three trilingual continent accents, which one would you do for me?
Sorry. Can you say that again? I'm so sorry. I lost you.
No, no problem. I'm going to have to.
All I heard was one fun question.
Okay.
I heard one fun question that was.
You've grown up in Zimbabwe. You have been to Australia for many years, yep. And now you're an American. If I'm going to cast you as a person with an accent, which one would you choose?
That's very interesting. I would probably choose either American or British.
Interesting.
Zimbabwe American is a kind of like, I mean, my accent isn't fully American. You hear in a lot of words, but it's one which I can get into. And British because it's Zimbabwean is very close to British. So, yep.
Okay. Now, everybody, her two films are on Amazon Prime. It's Introducing Jodea and Devil's Cove.
Devil's Cove. Yeah.
And Devil's Cove.
Yes.
I was getting there. And anything else you'd like to promote right now?
No, but thank you so much for always making the time to talk. And I love being on your show. You are so much fun. And please stay in touch.
I will. Have a great night.
Great. You too. Have a good one.